to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from a hilltop that overlooks the shores of Babylon Island, I bid you hello, and I welcome you to another session of soul-stirring content and information. And from this location, I must report that I am observing a world in turmoil. The money changers of planet Earth have become the worrisome participants of a worldwide financial earthquake. And I see them running to and fro, trying to shelter and preserve their dwindling fortunes and last remaining assets. Unfortunately, they're not finding many places to hide. And as I turn my attention to the distant shorelines and beyond, I see a strange-looking tide whose waves are dark and sinister. And in those dark waters, I see a stowaway, a silent passenger to the currents. And this passenger has so far evaded capture, and most of you know who she is. She is a large eruption of oil flowing out from the bowels of the earth. And at this very moment, she is striving for attention, and she refuses to be ignored. In fact, she thinks that she's an artist, but really, she's a vandal. Because she has started painting her graffiti on coastal beaches and on the marshlands. And unfortunately, she thinks that all of the shoreline of the Gulf of Mexico is her territory. And over the last few weeks, she has made it known that she has a ravenous appetite. And now, she even wants Florida. And then, she wants Georgia. Because she believes that all of the waters are hers for the taking. She is dark, and she is sinister. And my friends, over the past few weeks, I have watched this event unfold. I have sought God, and I have asked Him, what is this thing that is happening in the Gulf of Mexico? And He has answered. And today we're going to talk about it. So I would like to ask you for your undivided attention, because I'm going to share some things about this event that you need to know about. Folks, this story is huge. It is gargantuan, and I really don't think most people understand the magnitude of it. How can I be so sure? Because I have been doing some seeking, and the Holy Spirit has made it very clear that what we are now witnessing in the Gulf of Mexico is going to have very grave and significant consequences for millions of people. This oil event, a petroleum rupture from the inner bowels of the earth, it is going to impact the lives of many, many people for years. Now, I do not report on this story lightly. It is not just a casual event. And today I share it with a spirit of sorrow. Folks, I grew up in the Gulf Coast. As a child, I ran on those beaches. I have fond memories from there. And aside from personal sorrow, I also know in the spirit, which I am going to talk about in a moment, I know that this oil eruption is going to shatter historical records. And here's the question. Is this story just the beginning? Today we're going to talk about these things. So, my friends, please pay attention to the things that I'm about to share. Why? Because your future health or even your life may depend on what you hear in this program. Now, I must qualify that statement by saying that it will depend on where you live as to how impactful this BP fiasco will affect you. But here's another unknown variable. The geographical affected area is still at this point unknown. So folks, this topic is far from a casual report on recent news. And I want you to know that as I have been preparing for this message, I have been trembling. And I have been grieved and disturbed as I gathered the information that you're about to hear. Folks, over the last few days, I even cried out to God and I asked Him for mercy over this entire event. I asked Him, folks. I prayed hard. I was on my face praying to God for mercy. Why am I taking it so seriously and why was I praying so hard? Because, as I said, as the result of this event, some people are going to become gravely ill. Some people are going to be poisoned. And unfortunately, some people are going to perish and die. And I hope that it is not any of you that are listening to me right now. So please, folks, pay attention. The website is watchmanscry.com, and you can go there and listen to many of my other audio messages. You can download those audio sermons. Folks, please do that. Share them with your friends. Share them with your loved ones. You are free to burn copies of them. You're free to put them up on other websites. Folks, the whole purpose of this ministry is so that souls will be awakened, so that souls will get their lives in order. So please share these messages with your friends, folks. They're bathed in prayer before, during, and after I record them. And there are many people that get touched when they listen to these messages. Now, am I saying this to boast? No. I'm saying it because that is what this ministry strives for and depends on. Folks, God is real. He is my oxygen, and He is your oxygen. And I have a hunger for the presence of God. I hunger for a word from God. I need wisdom and direction from God in this very late hour. My friends, my passion and heartbeat for this ministry, to see souls challenged and revived and touched by God. And it is for this cause that I welcome your prayers, so please hold us up in prayer, folks. The enemy does not like what this ministry is doing, but I get emails from all over the world, from people just like you that are being touched and that are getting saved and that are coming back from a backslidden condition. So this ministry is making a difference, and you're making a difference if you're sharing it. So continue to do that. Let's get the message out, folks. Now, real quick, I'm still trying to get ready in the event that the internet goes down. So continue sending me your physical address so that I can get in touch with you. You can go to my website at watchmanscry.com and send me an email of your physical address, because I will then send out newsletters and CDs when the internet goes down. Folks, there's a lot of ominous news that is coming out that is leading to that very event happening. So I want to be prepared for it beforehand. Also, I've taken inventory, and to accomplish this task, I'm going to need equipment to burn several thousand CDs of each and every program to send them out to you. And right now, so far, I burned CDs one by one on the Watchman's Cry computer, which, by the way, has been crashing 2 to 3 times in the last month or two. So I want to apologize if you have not received an audio sermon, because I've been having problems with my computer. It's getting old. It's 6 or 7 years old. So here at Watchman's Cry, we do need equipment. We need new computers. I need to get a high volume CD burner. I need to get a labeler. I need to get set up to put out video sermons. So I ask you to please pray about helping to support this ministry so that we can still maintain contact with one another. If you appreciate what we're doing, the address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website, and we have a link there. If you're not able to help support us, then folks, please pray for us. I covet your prayers. I value your prayers. So thank you for holding us up. Now, let's get started, folks. Today, I have a report that I want to share with you. And as I share the things that I'm about to talk about, you may find yourself becoming fearful and scared at what I say. So I want to let you know beforehand that today's message is going to be heavy duty. But my friends, please listen to what I have to say, because this event in the Gulf of Mexico is going to be a huge event in history. Please take notes. Please get your Bible. Get a pen and paper. After I share this information, I am also going to share some encouraging words from the scriptures so that you will not remain fearful. The whole reason that this event is happening, folks, is so that the people of God can rediscover their place with God. And if you are not where you should be with God, these events hopefully will take you back into the arms of God. So please take notes, folks. Again, my friends, please make no mistake. This thing is here. The judgment of God has arrived, and it is your job to endure it, because this thing is very dire and it is very serious. Now, folks, I want to start off by saying that I realize that nobody likes an arrogant person. Nobody likes a person that toots their own horn. So what I'm about to share right now does not come from a heart that wants to boast. It comes from a heart that wants to plead with anyone that will listen. Because, folks, I want you to know that this ministry, Watchman's Cry, has the endorsement of God Almighty. What do I mean by that? I mean that I find it an extreme privilege to be a servant of God. God has used this ministry to reveal some prophetic warnings over the past few years. Now, I am trying my best to say this with the most sincere heart that I can. There's a lot of people out there that wonder about all the ministries that are out there, because there's a lot of imposters. There's a lot of false voices out there. So if you ever wonder about Watchman's Cry, and if you ever wonder, is Nathan making stuff up? Does Nathan come up with his prophecies out of the blue? Is he some crackpot? If you've ever wondered that, folks, I pray that what I'm about to share will prove to you that I don't just make things up and that the Holy Spirit is my source of information. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. On April the 18th, 2008, which is 2 years and 1 month ago, God gave me a prophecy and I placed it on my website. You can go to watchmanscry.com and read it. It's under the link called Prophecies, Dreams, and Visions. And it's called Judgment Has Begun. Now, this prophecy has been there over 2 years. And by the way, side note, if for some reason any one of you that are listening think that I'm lying and I just made it up, or that I typed it out in the last week and put it up there with a false date, you can Google it. You can Google Nathan Liao, Judgment Has Begun, and it'll come up on other websites, and you will see that it is date stamped from 2 years ago. Now, why am I saying this? Here's why I'm saying it, folks. Because there are some people that are not sure if God still gives the gift of prophecy in today's church. Some people wonder, were these things done away with 2,000 years ago? And as a result, the people that doubt the gift of prophecy, they may argue and say that God does not do that. Therefore, if anyone claims to give a prophecy, they're just making it up. Folks, God does give the gift of prophecy. And by the way, the people that he chooses to use are not special. I am no better than any one of you that are listening. We are all made out of dust. We all sleep and eat food. God can use a donkey to give a warning. He could use the rocks to give a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit can do it through anybody, through children, through old people, through middle-aged people. So when someone is used as a vessel to give a prophetic word, that does not make them special. So I just want to say that for the record. But getting back to the prophecy that God gave me 2 years ago, Judgment Has Begun. The reason I want to talk about it is because that prophecy has many elements and details of the judgment that is now happening over America. If you happen to be a regular listener, you have heard this prophecy before, but I want to read it right now for those of you that might be new, or to remind some of you that might not remember the things that were said in it. So here it is. Warning, judgment has begun. A word from the Lord to this watchman, April 18th, 2008. To those that would have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, it has become so. The judgment that was at the door has walked through the threshold. The patience of the Lord God Almighty has diminished and grown weary. Now, this next part I'm about to read, folks, please listen to this. The sins of the land have poisoned the waters of America and are overflowing the banks. The waters and the rivers of America are full of the blood of the murdered unborn. They are full of iniquity, adultery, and fornication. They are full of the abomination of Sodom. The waters are polluted. The waters are polluted. The waters are polluted. They are foul. Therefore, this watchman declares and cries out over the land that the judgment of the Lord Jehovah has begun. Because the people of apostasy did not desire the truth, nor the living water of the Word of God. Listen to this, folks. Prepare to see the poisoning of the water of the land. It goes on. Because the ears of the sleeping have been closed to the cries of the prophets, prepare to hear the cries of the people as God allows them to be stripped of their earthly idols and possessions. Because the people of apostasy did not desire the true bread of life, prepare to see the bread of man become more precious than gold. Now listen to this next part, folks. Famine will reach the shores of America. Idle hands will be replaced with hands searching for food. Because the people of apostasy placed material goods, cars, and wealth over holiness, prepare to see these people living in their cars. The land weary and full of iniquity will soon answer the cry from heaven with famine, earthquakes, and the tempest of deadly storms. Therefore, let the people of God seek shelter in the heart of God with repentance, tears, and reverence. Let the people of God seek the wisdom of God for instruction to weather the days ahead. This watchman has declared it. Let it be so. Amen. April 18th, 2008. Now, folks, I admit that this prophetic word was not a feel-good, everything is great, peace, peace, all is well, God wants to bless you, prophetic word. It was not a word that told you you're special and your self-esteem needs to be massaged and God wants to make you rich. This prophetic word had to do with the grievances that man has done. It had to do with the sins of the land. It had to do with the iniquities that the land of America has committed. And it had to do with the undone hearts and the spirits of the children of men who walk around in America thinking that they are rich and in need of nothing, when in reality they are poor, miserable, blind, and naked, and they are dehydrated for the word of God. This message had to do with the lies that we hear from so many pulpits. It had to do with those that water down the message of our holy God. It has to do with God's displeasure that today's American church and Western church is lukewarm. And because of all these things, God has chosen to bring judgment to the land of America. He has chosen to bring judgment to this world. And these very things are being fulfilled as I speak. Now, I am not the only one that has prophesied judgment on this land. There are many, many other voices out there that God has raised up. There are many other voices of people that have not bowed down to Baal, that have not bowed down to the line prosperity gospel, that have not taken a sip of that elixir that puts people in the stupor. All the voices together are declaring one thing. The hand of an almighty God is moving across this land, and you need to prepare to weather these things. The fulfillment of these judgments are going to be very, very painful for millions of people and to planet Earth. The fulfillment of these judgments is going to result, not may result, they are going to result in the deaths of many, many people. Now, as I read those words just now, folks, I want to zero in on the section about the water. Now, first of all, my friends, please know this. Listener, please know this. God sees everything. God keeps track of everything that you do. God records everything that you do. God records everything that your neighbor does, that your boss does, that every person on your street and in your town and in your city does. And God has kept track of the crimes, of the murder of the unborn, of abortion. And the chronicles of God this very day have recorded the sins of a free people with their boastful lifestyles of fornication, homosexuality, promiscuity. And these sins have poisoned the waters of America. To the person that would ask me, how, Nathan, how are they poisoning the water? I've shared this before, but I'll say it again. When a baby gets aborted in the office of some clinic, some person will come into the room after the baby has been ripped apart and murdered and clean up that room. They'll mop up the blood that has dripped on the floor. They will wipe down the tables of the gurneys. They rinse off the tools full of blood. And that blood goes down the drain. And it goes into the pipes that flow under your city and down your street. The waters are also polluted by so many people committing their affairs, committing adultery, committing fornication as they go into the showers of millions of hotels across America and de-louse themselves from the sins they just committed. When homosexuals go into the shower after disgusting homosexual acts, when Americans and Westerners take their showers after they've romped around like animals, the waters containing their sin go down the drain, and those waters of America are polluting the land. 50 million dead babies down the drain. The land is polluted. The waters are polluted. They are foul. And then we have all of these churches denying the living water of the Word of God. God's Word denied in its power, twisted, rewritten, stepped on, blasphemed, and forgotten on the shelves of millions of America. A crime in itself.
And because all of these things just mentioned, this prophecy says, prepare to see the poisoning of the water of the land of America. Now, when God gave me this word, folks, I had no idea how it was going to occur. Because when God gives a prophetic word, we only know in part and we only prophesy in part. So I didn't know how it was going to happen. But the reason that it is happening, folks, is because God's word has become anathema to America, including among lazy Christians who are biblically illiterate. Because today, here in America, there is a famine for the word of God. And because the people of God who reside within the borders of America do not desire the bread of life, the word of God, that prophecy also said something else. Famine will reach the shores of America. That's what the prophecy says, folks. Famine's going to reach the shores. That means that famine is going to come from offshore. Folks, it is very hard to share these words. Because when I was praying, God revealed some other things. This thing is going to be mighty. It is going to be harsh. It is going to sting this country. So I say this with deep, deep grief. I don't say it in enjoyment. I don't say it in celebration. I say it in deep sorrow, folks. Because if people really knew the severity of this thing, they would be on their faces right now. But we are not hearing those things. We don't hear pastors crying out to the people. Could this be the judging hand of an almighty God? Folks, is it possible that God is unhappy with this nation? Folks, is it possible that we are not pleasing our Creator? Is it possible that we've grieved Him? And if so, what shall we do? But folks, that is not what happened. The voices of the spiritual leaders of this land did not cry out in grief and in pain and in heartache. They idly sat by and they didn't warn their people. And today we have this thing that is coming upon the land. And famine is going to reach the shores of America because so many have slept when they should have been awake. When I was preparing for this message, I said, God, what's going on? What is this? God said, judgment. And I said, well, God, give me a word about it. And the Holy Spirit said, I already did 2 years ago. This is a true story, folks. I said, when, God? When did you give it? God said, go look. Go look at that prophecy. Judgment has begun. Look for the words famine. Look for the words shores. I had forgotten about those words. So I went to my computer and I looked up this prophecy and I couldn't believe what I saw, folks. Famine will reach the shores of America. I actually forgot about these words. I said, God, is this really happening? The Holy Spirit said, it is arriving. I've seen the pictures of all the oil in the marshlands, the pelicans dying, the dead fishes, the dead turtles, the dead dolphins. And I was praying to God. I said, God, how bad is this going to be? How bad, God? God, can you have mercy and stop it, please? And His answer to me, folks, was, this event is going to play out and this judgment is going to be very, very harsh. I said, harsh? Why harsh, God? It is going to sting America. The nobles and the mighty ones will be confused. That's what the Holy Spirit told me. The nobles will be confused. I still don't know what that means. Who are the nobles? Are they the political nobles? The corporate nobles? I was praying, folks, and I began to get very sad. I began to travail. And again, I said, God, can you stop it? Please, have mercy. God said, if people want mercy, they need to seek me for private mercy. They need to seek me individually for their answer and for direction and for wisdom. That's what God said, folks. This thing's not going to be stopped. It's too late. What we're witnessing right now is a judgment that is part of a big sequence. God was very clear. It has walked through the door and it's going to play out through to the very end, to the end of the wings. It's going to be fulfilled. It has started and it will run its due course. Therefore, there's not going to be any corporate mercy for everybody at the same time, all at once. My friends, please hear what I'm saying right here. Please hear me. The only way that you are going to find mercy in this judgment is if you find it personally on an individual basis. You have to find it. You have to find mercy and shelter for you and your family. Now, it's only going to be found. I need to let you know this, folks. It's only going to be found according to your desire to seek Him. And it's only going to be found according to your efforts to seek Him, period. God stressed this to me as I prayed. Now, some of you might be saying, seek Him for what? Well, we're going to talk about that. And also, as I was seeking God, I said, God, is there a verse in the Bible that can explain what's happening down in the Gulf of Mexico? Please show me one, if there is. And it was amazing, folks. Just a few hours went by, and I found it. I just happened to open the scriptures to Isaiah 14, and there it was. If you have your Bibles, or if you want to write down this reference, write down Isaiah 14:22. And if you have the New King James Version, the translation will really explain it. Reading from the New King James, verse 22, Isaiah 14. Now this is the Lord God Almighty talking right here. I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and posterity. Now those words mean son and nephew. So I will cut off from Babylon sons and nephews, family members. I will cut it off from Babylon, saith the Lord. Now, watch this, folks. Reading on. And I will make it a possession for a porcupine. The King James says bittern, which means a porcupine or a hedgehog, but it's one of those wild animals. Now, this means that the land will become wild. It will become inhospitable with no people. And why will it become inhospitable? Look what the rest of the verse says. Because it would become marshes of muddy water. Marshes of dirty water. Does that sound familiar, folks? Now, why would this happen? Why would the land of Babylon become marshes of muddy, dirty water? Reading on, look what it says, folks. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. My friend, the recent events on the news are the present judgment of God upon America, the Babylon. And God right now is judging this part of Babylon, where He is going to make the marshlands muddy, dirty water. If you've looked on the news, you can see this verse playing out on your TV set. Now, this judgment has many parts to it. As I said a few minutes ago, this judgment will be accomplished through a sequence of events, one after another. Now, to the one that wishes to doubt and say, Nathan, how are you so sure about this? Well, I just showed you a two-year-old prophecy that's coming true right now. By the way, let me say this. It is not complete, and the waters that are polluting the land are not only going to be in the Gulf of Mexico. There is also going to be fresh water that's going to be polluted. So this thing's not finished yet. God has made that clear also when I was seeking Him. God knows the future, my friends, and He reveals it to His children. He knows what's going to come in the future. And because He knows what's going to come, and because He knows that He's about to judge, out of His mercy, He uses humans to communicate these things so that His children can get prepared for it and be ready. So folks, I want you to also know this. There are other prophetic events that are also coming to the land of America and to this world. And those prophetic warnings that God has also shared through His grace are going to happen. If you haven't been listening to me very long, go to my other audio sermons on my audio page, watchmanscry.com, and they're in there. You can hear and listen to them. My friends, I desperately want you to prepare for them. God, even more so, wants you to prepare for them. So please, folks, please know that I say this out of intense passion that burns. This thing is in motion, and the worst is yet to come, and it is not to be taken lightly. Now, I want to take a few minutes to talk about the poison water in the Gulf of Mexico. I want to share with you why it is very serious. If you've been listening to news reports that are downplaying its severity, then you're listening to lies. In the prophetic word that God gave, the water is going to be poisoned. What does that mean? Does that mean it's just dirty? No.
Poison means just that. It means water that is unfit to drink. It means water that makes you sick or water that can actually kill you. Now, this oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico is creating that very thing. For those of you that are not aware, it began a little over 30 days ago, on April the 20th. There was an offshore drilling rig that was parked in the Gulf of Mexico approximately 42 miles south of Louisiana. This drilling rig used to be called the Deepwater Horizon. The reason I say used to is because it sunk to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. Now, this drilling rig had an equipment failure, and there was an explosion. Up to that point, the Deepwater Horizon had the record for drilling the deepest oil well offshore. Now, why did it fail? What they discovered after they went back and looked at what caused the explosion was that there's a lot of methane in this reservoir. This methane gas is very flammable, and it's under intense pressure under the earth. Now, those of you that know science, you know that as gas rises in altitude, it expands. And what the scientists were saying was, as the methane gas was extracted through the drilling pipes, the riser pipes, and came to the surface, that gas began to expand. And to give you an example of how much it expanded, when the methane gas was in the reservoir at its point of origin, if it was 1 cubic foot down there, as it came to the top, it expanded to 200 cubic feet. So every cubic foot became 200. And that's what happened. So as you can imagine, as the gas was expanding, as it rose up the pipe, it began to build up an incredible amount of pressure with the oil. And what ended up happening was that when it got to the top and arrived at the Deepwater Horizon rig, it came up with such force that it went 200 feet into the air. An incredible explosion of pressure. And when that happened, it ignited and there was a great fireball. And then the entire rig caught on fire. The oil workers abandoned ship. They were jumping into the Gulf and 11 of them died. The drilling rig was totally consumed with flames, and then it sank to the bottom. Now, as it sank, the oil riser pipe that was attached to the drilling rig became disconnected, but that pipe was 5,000 feet long. And as it disconnected from the drilling rig, it collapsed down upon itself on the ocean floor like a garden hose, and it stayed in one giant piece. It has a few kinks in it, and that's where the oil leak is coming from. But at the time of this recording, they're about to try two more options. One of them is called the top kill option, where they actually are going to try to pump mud and concrete into the piping. By the time you're listening to this audio, you will know if it worked or if it failed. Now, I want to talk about how much pollution and poison that this gusher is emitting into the Gulf of Mexico. Originally, BP said that it was leaking 5,000 barrels of oil a day, which is 200,000 gallons. And many news sources and historians are using the previous worst oil spill, the Exxon Valdez, to compare to this event. The Exxon Valdez happened over 10 years ago, and the Valdez spilled 11 million gallons in Alaska. And that was the American oil spill benchmark, the Valdez. So BP has said that this oil spill, quote-unquote, which is a gusher, is only 200,000 gallons a day. So every 5 days, it's a million gallons. So that means in order to equal the Valdez, it's going to take 55 days of leaking to even be as bad as the Valdez. So it's not that bad. That's what the CEO of BP has actually said. He said the oil spill compared to the whole ocean is not that bad. So they were insisting that it was only 5,000 barrels a day. But then the federal government told BP, we want to see some video of the leak. So BP finally released the video of the leaking pipe. Well, a professor from Purdue University took a look at that video and he said, wrong, BP, you're lying. And he did some calculations and he used some computer programming to calculate how much the oil flow really was. And this is what he said, folks. He said the real number of oil leaking is between 1 and 4 million gallons a day. Of course, BP argued and said, no way, the oil slick on top of the Gulf that you can see from the satellite pictures calculates to only be 200,000 gallons a day, 5,000 barrels. But then some more scientists came aboard and analyzed the video, and they agreed. They said it's between 1 and 4 million gallons. And I believe it's closer to the high end, 4 million gallons, based on some other reports that I've read from some scientists. Now, according to the 4 million gallons, folks, think about this. That means that every 3 days, we have a Exxon Valdez in the Gulf of Mexico. This thing's been going on for over 30 days. That means that we have over 10 Valdez spills so far in the Gulf of Mexico. 10 of them, folks. And by the way, now, BP has been exposed as liars because the truth actually did come out. Because one of their previous attempts to siphon oil from the pipe revealed that they were lying. Because what they did was they stuck a tube inside of a leaking pipe, and they actually revealed and said that they are gathering 2,000 barrels a day. And then they raised it to 3,000, and then they said, we're sucking out of that pipe 5,000 barrels a day of oil with our little siphon pipe. But if you look down at the video of the leak, there was still a lot of oil they weren't grabbing. In fact, most of it they weren't grabbing. So when they said they were pulling out 5,000 barrels a day, and then the video showed otherwise, that revealed to the world that they were a bunch of liars. So now the high number is what more news agencies are going with. They're saying it's between 2 to 4 million gallons a day that's leaking. So that's a lot of poison, folks. If we add that up, then we have approximately 70 to 130 million gallons of oil in the Gulf of Mexico. And if we go with the high number that a lot of scientists are starting to agree to, that means that there's between 100 and 130 million gallons of oil so far in the Gulf of Mexico, folks. Now, in addition to all that oil that's poisoning the Gulf of Mexico, BP has been spraying a chemical on top of the oil to make it sink. This is called dispersant, and they are also pumping this dispersant at the bottom of the ocean to make the oil break up and not rise to the top. Now, so far, they have used almost 800,000 gallons of dispersant. Now, why is that bad? This dispersant that they're using, folks, is called Core Exit 9500, and they used this chemical during the Exxon Valdez spill. In fact, Exxon invented this stuff. So BP is buying it from their brother Exxon. This dispersant has a solvent base, and according to the data sheet on Core Exit, when you look at oil, oil is 11 parts per million toxic. Well, Core Exit, the dispersant that BP is using, is 2.4 parts per million toxic. So the dispersant that BP is spraying on the Gulf of Mexico right now is 5 times more toxic than the actual oil itself. And they're approaching 800,000 gallons so far, folks. Now, this stuff is nasty. Core Exit is lethal to marine life. It kills all seabed life. It kills oysters, shrimp, sailfish, crustaceans. The entire food chain of the Gulf of Mexico is dying right now because BP is spraying dispersants on the oil slick. Also, when they spray on the oil slick, it makes the oil slick sink into little droplets that just hover under the surface of the water. And scientists have now discovered that there are actual underwater plumes or clouds of just oil that has gathered, and it's not rising to the surface or sinking. It's just staying suspended at different levels of the Gulf of Mexico. For example, there are plumes that are 5, 10, 20 miles long that are 50 feet below the surface. They're not rising to the top. And then there are other plumes that are just as long that are 100 feet below the surface. And then there are other plumes that are 1,000 feet under, 2,000, 3,000, long lakes of oil that are just stationary underwater, folks. And these plumes, when they were measured on their oxygen content, it was found that their oxygen level was down to nothing. There's no oxygen around these plumes underwater. What that means is that these plumes are killing the Gulf of Mexico. It means that the Gulf of Mexico is becoming a dead zone with absolutely no sea life. Indeed, folks, the waters right now have become poison with this stuff. Now, the federal government told BP, stop using the dispersant just a few days ago, and BP told the EPA, no, we're not going to stop using it. So BP has not stopped. And by the way, this shows how this country has become a country of fascism, because now the corporations are telling the government how it's going to be. BP is actually giving orders to the federal government. They have told the Coast Guard to arrest anybody that is filming from the shorelines any of this oil slick. So the Coast Guard has been caught on camera by CBS News saying, you're not allowed to film because we're under the authority of BP. Folks, these are very, very weird events and ominous days that are going on right before our very eyes. Now, does the story stop there? Could it get any worse? Actually, yes, it could. Because As I just mentioned, BP is spraying chemical dispersants. Those chemicals are toxic to humans. If humans inhale the fumes are very poisonous to them. In fact, the workers that deal with the dispersant have to wear hazmat suits. And they're spraying this stuff into the ocean, folks, so that it can float right up to the beach houses of some of you that may be listening to me right now. Now, in addition to the toxicity of Corex, the dispersant, we also have the fumes of the actual oil itself to deal with. Now, the oil that is in the Gulf right now is evaporating different chemicals. And there are ingredients in this oil that are even more dangerous than the Corex. Dangerous chemicals are measured by their properties and their tendency to evaporate and how quick they evaporate. And also, they are measured on how volatile their fumes are. So these volatile fumes are called volatile organic compounds, or VOC for short. And there are several chemicals that are part of this mixture of crude oil, and they're leaching their vapors. These vapors have very toxic VOCs. And these fumes can even poison or kill a human in high dosages. Now get this, folks. Already in Louisiana, some of the cleanup workers are complaining of bad headaches. They're complaining of burning eyes, of coughing, sore throats, congestion, nausea, and dizziness. Why is that? Because we found out during the Valdez cleanup in Alaska, workers back then got what they called the Valdez crud. And back then, doctors dismissed it as a cold or a flu. But now we have found out that they were being poisoned by the VOCs, the fumes of the oil and the dispersants. So many of the workers that worked on the Valdez back then are still sick to this day. In fact, out of the 11,000 workers that worked on the Valdez oil spill, over 5,600 of them have recorded themselves as having respiratory problems. Some of them have come down with cancer, and some of them have actually died. Why? Because the compounds in this crude oil are high in these fumes. So let's talk about those poison fumes real quick. And this is why I wanted to say, some of you that are listening, some of the people involved in this entire matter are going to find themselves very sick. And some of the ones that are involved in this event are going to have failing health. They're going to get sick. Some of them are going to die. This is why, folks. And if you happen to be a cleanup worker, or you know somebody that's a cleanup worker, please talk to them about this. If you live near the coast of the Gulf of Mexico, then this also concerns you. If you have friends or family living along the coast, this concerns them, because BP is not warning them. Now, over the last few days, the Louisiana Environmental Action Network, which is an organization that measures pollution, was hired by the government to measure the VOC levels found along the shorelines of Louisiana. And they monitored the air and they analyzed it. And this is what the findings came up with, folks. Listen to this. The findings show that the level of airborne chemicals are right now far exceeding the standards for human exposure, right now along the shoreline. Some of the chemicals that were monitored in the air are hydrogen sulfide. Write that down, hydrogen sulfide, and Google it, oil spill, and you'll find out that I'm not making this up. Hydrogen sulfide has been detected hundreds and hundreds of times greater than is safe for humans to be exposed to. Now, the health effects for hydrogen sulfide are respiratory problems, eye burning, nausea, dizziness, confusion, and headaches. By the way, why dizziness and confusion and headaches? Well, that's because the fumes are poisoning the body and they're killing brain cells. And they're destroying the person that is breathing the fumes. Now, the safe level for hydrogen sulfide exposure to a human is between 5 and 10 parts per billion. Now listen to this, folks. 5 or 10 parts per billion is safe. But they have actually done some air readings along the shorelines of Louisiana that have found readings of up to 1,200 parts per billion right along the shoreline. This is a toxic mix coming from the water. Another chemical VOC fume that is being found in the oil slick is benzene and methylene chloride. Now, benzene and methylene chloride, the safe amount for benzene exposure around a human is 4 parts per billion. The safe amount for methylene chloride is 61 parts per billion. Well, again, in recent monitoring of the air, they have found in the neighborhood of 3,000 to 3,400 parts per billion of benzene and methylene chloride. Folks, these numbers are off the charts, toxic poison to humans. They will kill them If you are exposed to this, they will kill you. They will fry your brain. Now, for those volunteers that might be saying, it's not so bad, I don't need a mask. Well, these fumes are poison and they're toxic to the blood, to the liver, to bone marrow, to the central nervous system, to the urinary system. These fumes cause leukemia. They cause cancer. They will kill the people that are working on the cleanup effort. Now, those fumes are just now arriving to the shoreline. And there have been reports that the cleanup crews have not been given the proper respirators to wear when they're working on cleanup. Some of the fishermen that are renting out themselves and their boats to drag for oil, they have not been given proper respirators. So, folks, the people involved in the cleanup in this spill, many of them are going to get sick. So, this oil gusher is going to cause Cancerville along the Gulf Coast. And this is my concern. What are these fumes going to do to coastal towns, to coastal cities? Here's the answer, folks. The waters have become poison. And since the water is poison, this means that sea life in the Gulf is going to die, or it is already dying, through the combination of no oxygen, through chemical contamination, through toxic poisons that are going to poison the fish, the shrimp, the crabs, the oysters. By the way, folks, 40 to 50% of the seafood in America comes from the Gulf of Mexico. So that seafood is now going to be either dead or is going to be contaminated and unfit for human consumption. Now, the prophetic word that God gave me 2 years ago said famine will reach the shores of America. This whole scenario is the perfect fulfillment of this. The lack of edible food from offshore is going to do this, folks. Sadly, it's happening. And also, it's not just going to be this year. The ecological food chain for sea life in the Gulf of Mexico is going to be disrupted for years. The marshlands along the Gulf are going to be destroyed. So even if this leak is stopped tomorrow, which it could be, the top kill could work by tomorrow. But even if it does, right now there's approximately 100 million plus gallons of oil in the Gulf of Mexico. So the ongoing poisoning is going to continue as the oil lingers. It's not just going to disappear. And another thing that's going to affect millions of people from now on, whenever a person purchases seafood at a restaurant, how are they going to know if it's contaminated with these poisons that I just mentioned? Will the waiter at the restaurant know? And of course they're going to say, it's safe, don't worry. This is another story that's going to be developing for years, folks. What about the oil that is now going to go up the Atlantic coast? It's going to get caught in the Gulf Stream. It's going to make it to the beaches of Florida, the beaches of Georgia, the Carolinas. Folks, this thing is huge. There's going to be lingering illnesses from people along the Gulf. So I wonder, is the shoreline of the Gulf of Mexico going to become an off-limits Superfund cleanup site? Is it going to become a huge dead zone? And you know, there's another concern about these chemicals, the VOCs, the chemicals that are evaporating into the sky. Benzene evaporates, the sulfates evaporate, the methylene chloride evaporates, and benzene is known to evaporate and adhere to precipitation and then fall back to the ground attached to the rain. So in addition to this, folks, what about these chemicals that are going to evaporate into the sky and then fall down as poison acid rain along the cities and towns along the Gulf Coast? What is that going to do? Also, what about a hurricane stirring up, blowing all of this oil into fresh water, lakes and streams and rivers? Folks, right now we are witnessing a catastrophe and the nobles are going to be confused. In addition to the health risks and consequences, we also have the economic impact for millions of people along the Gulf Coast. And now throw Florida into the mix and possibly even add some Atlantic states. Now, think about this. Who wants to vacation in a beach full of tarballs, in a beach full of benzene and dead fish? There are millions of vacationers who are going to choose not to go to Florida beaches or to coastline getaways. This is going to impact tourism in a huge, huge, enormous way. The real estate prices from coastal areas are going to tank, those that are affected by this oil spill, which is also going to affect recreational watercraft business, the sales of boats, and all of those gadgets that people use to play in the ocean with. Also affected is going to be fishing unemployment. Thousands and thousands of fishermen and shrimpers and crabbers are not going to be able to harvest. They're not going to be able to do their livelihood. Folks, this thing is going to create an economic catastrophe to a country that is already saturated with high unemployment. Again, folks, this thing is very concerning. And this is why you need to be concerned, because this event is going to strike a death blow into any economic recovery in coastal regions of the affected areas. So say hello to millions and millions of people who are going to be financially affected or even financially destroyed. Again, my friends, the Holy Spirit told me that this judgment will be harsh. Now, some of you might be asking, Nathan, could it get any worse? And my answer to that is, unfortunately, yes, because the days that we're living in right now are perilous days. And here's the part that I say with regret. There is more coming. And it's not easy to say these things, folks, because I know most people don't want to hear this, but denial is not going to make it go away. And you need to be prepared. You need to have firm footing. You need to be able to endure and to stand as the winds of judgment increase around you. Now, as I just said, this Gulf event is just part of the sequence. Now, later in this year, toward the end of the summer and into the fall, we're going to see more financial calamity. We're going to see a currency crisis. We're going to see food skyrocket in price. Just in the past few days, the drumbeats of war are growing louder and louder. Korea is waving their sabers to their neighbors. We have Israel and Iran about to have war. Folks, this world is such a powder keg right now, ready to explode in crisis. So please take this message seriously. I know there's a tendency to want to just go back to sleep, but folks, you can't do that because most likely you have people depending on you. Most likely you have loved ones depending on you. So the reason that I'm sharing this right now is because God has raised up this ministry so that I can be one of the voices to help wake you up, to help equip you, to help challenge you so that you can be ready yourself. So here's the question. How does a person prepare for all of this? Nathan, what do I do? You got me freaked out right now. You got me scared. Please don't turn off this message because I want to give you some scriptural, spiritual nurturing so that you do not leave just fearful. Okay, so please hear this message through, folks. And I want to talk about what we can do. Now, in order to endure what's coming and to deal with it, you have to do some things. Now, depending on where you are spiritually, you either need to continue doing them or you need to begin doing them. As I prepared this message, I prayed and I asked God what to share with you. Because folks, in these perilous times, you don't need to just hear superficial words that say, don't worry, be happy. And you don't need a sip from a milk bottle. Right now, you need meat. You need steak. Because my friends, unfortunately, there are lies out there. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 28, I want to read a passage of scripture and I would like for you to turn there. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28 verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink are out of their way. And I want to stop there for a second. This is talking about the spiritual leaders that were in old time Israel, but it applies to us even right now. And it's saying that those spiritual leaders have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink, they're out of their way. This means that the spiritual voices out there who drink a false drink rely on a false word. And they allow these false words to tranquilize them. And they lead themselves and others astray off the path of God. Yes, that's right, folks. There are drinks that are false out there. There are drinks that a person can go to a church and drink falsely. It's from a trough of lies. And these troughs of lies are available on many corners of America. And they can also be found on gospel TV. And it goes on. The priest and prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of their way through intoxicating drink. See, it says it over. And here's the question, folks. What is this drink that a spiritually drunk preacher would say? They might say, everything is fine, folks. Don't worry. Or, God only wants to make you rich. God would not hurt America. We're a Christian nation. America is more special than those other nations. And on it goes. An intoxicating drink given to the people, which puts so many in a stupor. Messages which lie to them and keep so many people complacent, spiritually weak, spiritually unfit, and spiritually immature. My friends, God wants you to be growing. He wants you to be seeking nourishment. He wants you to seek mature nourishment.
He doesn't want you sipping from the wine glass that contains the elixir of Egypt. And look what it says, folks, in verse 7. Reading the rest of it. They err in vision. Now think about that. God challenges us. He wants us to seek and to have open eyes, but not the ones described in these verses, because they listen to Jannes and Jambres, the magicians of Egypt, and they see false visions. They see false insight. And as a result, look what it says, folks. They stumble in judgment. My friends, please hear me. If you are listening to a wrong message from a pulpit, from an imposter, you will stumble. And if you are listening to this message and you're stumbling, here's the result. You are not going to be able to wade through today's turbulent waters without slipping. And there are many out there wasting airtime on Christian TV. God just wants you to be a champion, as Joel Osteen would say. Or God just wants to give you a financial anointing, as Mike Murdoch would say, or as Peter Popoff, the fraud, would say. There's so many false prophets out there, spiritual drunkards lying to the people. There's one preacher out there who calls himself a Holy Ghost bartender. And you know, folks, I think that this person is a bartender, all right? But he's not giving drinks that you need. Look at verse 11. For all tables are full of vomit and filth, and no place is clean. So many preachers on satellite TV today are serving a table of, by the way, folks, this is the word of God, truth. They are serving vomit. They're serving a drink of the world. They serve a nectar to satisfy the flesh. They serve a cocktail to tickle the ears of so many, and a drink that keeps the listeners asleep and unprepared. These voices that are out there are not warning the people of God of the present judgment on the land. And if they are not warning the people, they are failing the people. The judgment's going to be harsh, is what the Spirit of God told me. And right now, my friends, you do not need Satan's spiritual morphine. We need to all be awake. We need our eyes and our ears open to see the truth and to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God wants for you to seek after. Look at verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? You see, folks, God is looking for those hungry for the truth. Question, are you hungry for the truth? Or do you want to stay asleep, stay drowsy, stay unprepared, stay unready? So it goes on. Whom will he make to understand the message? Here it is, folks. Those weaned from milk. You see, my friends, if a person stays spiritually immature on milk sermons, they're not going to comprehend and understand the deeper knowledge of God. They need to wean themselves from the milk. And today, this is why the judgment prevails, because so many unrepentant souls in captivity and in dehydration are in a famine for the Word of God. And as a result, they're biblically illiterate. But that is not what God wants for you, my friend. God wants you to seek the deeper knowledge. And for some of you, that means to obtain the deeper knowledge, you're going to need to step it up and change some of your habits. That means that you're going to need to take your walk with God to a newer level, where you're going to need to put forth more time and more effort to learn and to study. Because in order for you to study, that means that you are going to need to change your habits. I know you can do it. You just need to do it. Now, why am I talking about study right now? Some of you might be saying, Nathan, what does study have to do with an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico? That's a good question. And when I was praying to God, I asked, God, what do I tell them? And this is when the Holy Spirit said, each person needs to seek for individual guidance and wisdom on what to do. Because the truth of the matter is, God has a plan that is different for every one of you. So you need to pursue the will of God in your life. What is that? What is it that some of you might have to do? I don't know. Some of you might have to actually move. But in order to decide to do these things, you need the guidance of God, which means you need to understand His will for you. You need to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. But this is the part that can stop that entire thing. If you stay tranquilized with a false message from a drunk preacher, you will have no direction. It will be hard for you to know your path. Isaiah 28:7 said, they stumble in the path. It says, because of intoxicating tranquilizer sermons, they are out of their way. They can't find the will of God.
My friends, that is why you must have your spiritual senses nurtured. That means that if you have blind eyes, they need to be opened. It means that if you have clogged ears, it means that they must be flushed out and made to hear the voice of God. Nathan, okay, I know I need to do it. How do I do it? Tell me how. Well, over the past few months, I've been seeking God over this entire matter, about learning to have my eyes open, learning to have my ears opened. I've really been seeking God on this, and He's been showing me a lot of interesting things. It's very interesting that throughout the scriptures, God says over and over, to him that has an ear, listen to me. And then we also hear Jesus say, they would not hear. Their ears were closed. So with God, it's very important to have open ears. Really start seeking out God on this matter, having open ears and open eyes. Because those are very, very key elements of a successful Christian walk. Open eyes and open ears. And if you look at the Gospels, when Jesus was ministering, many of the things he did in the natural had a spiritual application. In fact, that's a whole other sermon, but when Jesus healed people of their ailments, there was always another hidden layer that goes deeper in the spiritual realm. For example, when he opened the eyes of blind Bartimaeus, or some of the other individuals in the Gospels that cried out to him that were blind, there was a whole spiritual lesson behind that. And I'm probably in the future going to spend a lot more time on that. But in order to have your blind eyes open, folks, look at the passion that the people in the Gospels would cry out to God. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Open my blind eyes. Folks, they cried out to him in front of people. They didn't care. They cried out because they wanted their eyes open. And what God has been showing me lately is if people would actually cry out with that kind of fervency in their private prayer time, Jesus, Son of David, open my blind eyes. He'll do it, folks. He'll open your spiritual eyes to see things that you've never seen before. There are treasures to be discovered, but we cannot see them because our eyes are closed. So open eyes and open ears are so important in these days to seek the will of God. Now, God wants you to draw near to Him so that you can weather this thing. And my friends, today we all need His mercy and His guidance. So I want to talk about that. How do we find His guidance? Now, of course, step one to find guidance from God is always, always going to be repentance first. That is the foundation, folks. If you're harboring sin and you're holding on to something that you know you're not supposed to be doing, before you can find mercy with God, repentance has to take place in your heart. You need to come to the cross of Calvary. You need to come to the foot of Jesus and lay down all the things that you've done and ask for His forgiveness. Now, if you've done that already, then we need to move forward with seeking the deeper things of God, the deeper knowledge. Now, of course, the Bible is full of the deeper knowledge, but for this message, I want to touch on a passage of scripture that God shared with me. So it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, and please turn there. Ephesians chapter 1. Move down to verse 15, and let's look at that, the maturing process. Because right here, in the next few verses of chapter 1, is actually the whole package presented before us. Now, when Paul heard that the Ephesians came to God, he shared with them that he desired and prayed for them to receive the whole gospel, the full gospel. I desire the full package for myself, for my family, and for every one of you that are listening. Now, look at verse 15 and look what it says. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, verse 16, look at this, folks. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul is praying for them. Now, what is his prayer for them? Well, here it is. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may, number one, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, let's stop right there. In order for you to mature, my friend, you don't need to stay at a level of milk. And what is the milk level? The milk level is, oh, did you blow it last week? Don't worry, God will forgive you. And then another milk sermon. Oh, did you blow it last week? Don't worry, God will forgive you. And on and on and on. The milk level is a foundation of repentance over and over from dead works. Folks, you need to move past that. You need to move into maturity where you overcome those things of your past life. Also, the maturity level entails you knowing what God wants for your life. Also, the maturity level entails you understanding
the hidden riches and treasures that are found in God's Word. So Paul says, I am praying for you that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, what is this wisdom and revelation? This wisdom is a supernatural wisdom. It comes from God only. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The revelation comes through the Holy Spirit. Revelation for what? The revelation comes so that you can understand His Word, the Bible, when you're reading it. That means that even though you might be a wilderness Christian and perhaps you don't go to church, your church is at home, folks, the Holy Spirit can teach you, if you got alone with Him, probably more in several months than you would learn in years sitting under a milk preacher. The Holy Spirit can teach you and open your eyes and open your ears and help you to understand the deeper things found in the Bible much quicker and much deeper and much more exciting and much more rewarding than you would find under those intoxicating preachers that are out there. And that is my prayer for you. I pray that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, will reveal to you and open your eyes so that you can have the wisdom to understand the words found in the Bible. Now, I must qualify what I'm saying right now. If you do not have the gift of wisdom, if the Spirit of wisdom is not upon you, and if the Holy Spirit does not give you revelation, then it's going to be very hard for you to comprehend the Word of God on your own with your intellect. And yes, you can understand parts of it, but the hidden layers. The Bible is full of layers, folks. You can look at the Gospels when Jesus walked the earth. Every one of those events have layers to them. You have the surface event that's a good story, but under that, there is a layer of Holy Spirit truth. And that's what God wants you to find. So let me also say this. If you heard this message about the judgment of God and you're scared and you're saying, well, I need to find out the wisdom of God. Know this, my friend. If you are a fornicator or an adulterer, a robber, a thief, and you think that you can understand Scripture and live the life that you want, sorry, that's not going to happen. God is not going to reveal His secrets and His guidance to any person if they want to live for themselves, if they want to be carnal, and if they want to be full of the world, and if they want to stay a knucklehead. So if you want to find mercy from God, you need to have a life of repentance. That's how it's going to happen, folks. So Paul, when he heard about the Ephesians, he said, I pray that you will have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And folks, that's what I'm praying for you. If you want guidance from God, be a vessel that He wants to occupy. Be a vessel that He wants to live inside of. Be a vessel that daily comes to the cross and asks for His help. And He'll do it, my friends. Now, looking at verse 17 again, that He may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and look at the rest of it, folks, in the knowledge of Him. Who's Him? The Lord Jesus Christ. You need the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to learn about Jesus. Jesus wants you to know Him, to understand Him, to hear His voice. And look at this, folks. Look at verse 18. When you have the knowledge of Him, look at the next part. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Right there, folks. Open eyes. You see? Open eyes are the key to a healthy Christian walk. Why? It goes on. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. Now, this part is crucial because when you have hope, when you know what the hope is, that means that you have absolutely no doubts whatsoever about your salvation and your standing with Jesus. When you know what is the hope, that means that you possess it way, way deep down inside of you. When you know what is the hope, even a gun to your head is not going to take it away, my friend, because He is the hope. Jesus is the hope. And when Jesus is the one that you trust in, that means that no matter what happens on this world, folks, it means that knowing the hope will give you a peace deep within. And from that peace, you will stand firm. It means that you will not panic when you see fearful sights. When men's hearts are failing them for fear, your heart will be at rest. Why? Because you know Him who is the hope. You will know that He loves you. You will know that He wants to shelter you under His wing. Look at verse 18. It goes on. You will know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. My friends, knowing Jesus personally is a priceless treasure worth more than all the gold and all the bullets and all the dried food in the world.
Folks, someday this world is going to wither away. All the wealth of man is going to burn up. All of the fancy things that people put trust in and confidence in and hope in, it's going to be vaporized. But if we have our hope in God, as it says right here, I pray, my friend, that you will know the riches of the glory of the inheritance that He gave you. The Word says, eye has not seen, no ear has ever heard how beautiful the things are that God has prepared for you. Folks, the riches of the inheritance, that is our hope. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us? My friends, God has the power to save you. God has the power to seal you and to protect you. When 1,000 fall at your left side and 10,000 fall at your right hand, God has the power to sustain you, to be your provision, to be the provision for you and your family. And that is my prayer, that you get this entire package, that your eyes are opened, that you have wisdom and revelation, that your eyes of understanding are enlightened, that you will know Him, the hope of your calling, that you will know the riches of His glory, and that you will know the power toward us who believe. So God said, when I was seeking Him, that every one of you listening, every person that wants to find a haven and a shelter, needs to find personal, individual mercy. So my prayer for you, folks, is Ephesians chapter 1 for you. Folks, having the eyes to see and the ears to hear, that is my prayer today. I want to finish with a word that God gave me to share with you. Here it is, my friends. In the midst of my judgment, how many will cry out to me? How many will seek my mercy? How many will cause their hearts to turn back? How many will return to the God of their fathers? How many will surrender? How many will look to me and trust me at all costs? How many will seek to be approved by me? How many will seek my shelter? How many will deny themselves and follow me? My friends, today, seek God with all of your being, with every fiber of your soul. Seek Him with every part of your heart. Hide nothing from Him. Surrender all to Him. Ask Him for His mercy, His covering, His protection, His provision. Continue to seek Him and to ask of Him, no matter what the cost, no matter what the price. Submit unto Him, my friends. If your family makes fun of you, if they scoff you, if they mock you, then you be alone with God. When Peter was warming his hands by the fire, he stumbled. He stumbled and he denied Christ because he had too much opposition. But when you are in the fire, when you are near the fire trying to get warm, my friend, confess Him. Proclaim Him. Boast in Him. Trust in Him. Because this world is going to sink, and this world is under judgment, and our role is to seek Him for safety. Our role is to examine ourselves now, to renew ourselves now in Him. He wants you. He's waiting for you, my friends, and He wishes to restore you. He wants to equip you. The storm is here, but we are not to fear, because we can know Him, the hope of our calling. And we submit to you, Lord God. We submit to you, Abba, Father. Amen and amen.
infant.